Good morning. Welcome to Grace Chapel out here in the West Texas desert. Thank you for joining us both here in the chapel and online. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that you've given us in your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, we ask that you continue to work with us. Help us to learn more about you and guide and direct us. In Jesus' name.
Rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word. They rush on the city, they run on the walls. Great is the army that carries out his word. The Lord utters his voice before his armies. The Lord utters his voice before his armies. Trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm.
He is here,
he is here,
and he's walking among us.
He is here, he is here, as we gather. Trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion, sound the alarm.
They rush on
the city, they run on the wall. Great is the army that carries out his word. They rush on the city, they run on the wall.
Everywhere I look, I see your face, your face.
in you. You make me move, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Every step I take in you. You are my way, Jesus. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. Waves of mercy, waves of grace. Everywhere I look, I see your face. Your grace has captured me. Oh my God, this grace, how can it be?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a cheer. All right. Well, I hope you all had a great week and that you're looking forward to the week ahead. This morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about the body. That'd be the body of Christ, that'd be the church. It's who we're supposed to be. Now, I know each of us have our own physical bodies. I got one here. I got a head. I got some arms, some legs, a few fingers. And likewise, the church is that body with Jesus at the head. Now, when I, decide I need to walk across the room, my head tells my feet, get me over there across the room. Amen? If my feet don't do what my head told me to do, I ain't going to get there. Something's broke. Something ain't working. Now, this sort of comes up just because, this week it was my daughter. She was told to keep an eye on her youngest sibling while her mother ran to, I think, change the laundry or something like that. It was only a couple-minute thing. And sure enough, my wife turns around and there's Emily standing right next to her. What are you doing here? Thought I told you to go watch Shaylin over there. Oh, well, Mommy, God's watching him. Now, that might be cute, but it ain't right. And I had to talk to her about this. I pretty much laid it out the way that I did here, and you can see where this parallel is. I mean, if Jesus is the head of this body, which is the church, and he's going to tell somebody in that body to do a thing, if they don't do it, it may not get done. And maybe he then has to ask someone else to do it. And what do you think is going to happen to that member of that body that didn't do what they're supposed to do? They're going to get cut off. Right? I know Davey's been preaching on that last couple weeks, getting cut off from the vine, getting separated from that. Right? That's an important thing. And it kind of tied in with something else that's been going on with me this week, and that my grandfather, who's I think he's 94 years old, who, to me, was probably as much of an earthly father as, I may have known in my life. He's become ill. you know, as happens when folks get old. And since I became a Christian a few years ago, you know, because I love the man, you know, I've been trying to think of ways, you know, how do I bring him the gospel? You know, does he know Jesus? I mean, these aren't things that I ever really spoke with him about. So, since I had become a Christian, I looked for opportunity to mention things to him and to speak with him. And praise God, I had an opportunity on my way traveling down here to Texas. It was a few months ago. And we were able, you know, in a crowded room, it was just the two of us. And we were just chatting. And I had asked him, I said, "You know that Jesus loves you?" And he looked at me with a tear in his eye. And he said, "I do." And that put a tear in my eye. And then he went on to further tell me that he thought his time was coming to an end. That he thought that the Lord had showed him that he was to, you know, continue taking care of his wife of, what, 65 years? Is that how long they've been married? Something like that. Because she was failing in health as well. And he was going to finish out his job, and he was ready to go home. And that was really the most substantial conversation I'd had with him about the Lord. That's good enough for me. Amen? And it came, it was a couple weeks ago, you know, he started getting sick. He had a little touch of, you know, bronchitis or, you know, something like that. And then it ended up being an infection in his trachea, some sort of viral thing. And it was swelling up. You know, difficulty breathing, so they brought him into the hospital and they're giving him some antibiotics for one thing and trying to reduce inflammation on this side, you know, all that stuff. And what it came down to is, it was a few days ago, it was like Wednesday, something like that. Apparently, he'd gone to a point where they said, you know, we can do tracheas, we can do this, we can, you know, we got all kinds of stuff we can do, but what would you have us do? And he said, you know, I want to go home. So they let him out of the hospital, and he went home, and I was upset about it. I had a little conversation with Davey, because frankly, you know, in my life, I haven't had anybody that's close to me die since I sort of can remember these sorts of things. I had family die when I was young. So this is a new thing I'm sort of dealing with, you know. And something that Davey told me kind of stuck. You know, he said that, you know, it's kind of a two-edged sword. It's sad for you, it's happy for him. And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, from what I had told him, and from my grandfather's actions of saying, hey, you know, I'm just going to go home, he must have a hope, right? He has a hope of something better. He's not hanging on with everything he's got to this earthly life. He has a hope of something greater, something more precious." So, wow, well, praise God. And I was praying for him, and, you know, trying to deal, I guess, with my own grief. And the Lord showed me that while this man didn't go out and preach the gospel with words, he showed me all these different places in my life where he loved me, where he forgave me. And I was hoping that I'd have an opportunity to speak with him. I understand that he may not be able to speak to me, but I wanted to speak with him. And praise God, as it turned out, I was able to this morning. It was during the about an hour before we came up here. I got a text message from my father, said things weren't looking good. They got him home. He's at home. He's comfortable. And say, hey, am I able to speak with him? You guys got a speakerphone there or something? Yeah, we can do that. All right. So I call him up, and my cousin answered the phone. He says, hey, you know, how you doing? I said, well, I want to talk with Grandpa. He said, all right. And he said, you know, he's been praying for about 15 minutes straight, and nobody can talk to him. But as soon as the phone rang, he stopped. Let me see if he's able to speak with you. I said, well, praise God. So he held the phone up to him, and I heard my cousin tell me, oh, hey, this is Scotty. You know, your grandson. And I heard him try. Say, Scotty, hi. You know, he croaked it out. I said, Grandpa, don't need to say a word. I'm calling to tell you something. I told him I called him. Sorry. To tell you that I loved you. And he croaked out a thank you. Before I could finish my statement, because I was getting a little choked up, I said, Grandpa, more importantly, I wanted to tell you that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, Grandpa. And he said, thank you. And I couldn't hear the last part of what he said. But praise God, I think that Jesus might know this man. And he has a better hope than we can give him here on earth. And it's that hope that each and every one of us can have. You don't need to be up here preaching. You don't need to be walking around telling people things. You need to be showing people the love of God. If every one of us in this room were out there showing people the love of God, we can make a difference. You want to be part of that body? Tap into that vine. Get some of that sap. Get some of that love. And get out and share it. Be fruitful. Play a song.
I'll fly away. I'll fly away. praise the Lord. Hello, check. Mic working. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My mic wasn't working for a minute. Scott, you do me a favor next time you do that little sermonette like that. Let me know so I put some Kleenex in there, would you? Praise God. I'll turn to Philippians chapter 2. Since we're talking about showing the gospel through actions, I thought this would be a good place, since I already had this place and they two go together, talk on this a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, I've been doing a little radio show this week, or last week, and been in communication with Brother Paul down there in South Carolina. And they've had some pretty cold weather over there. Real cold weather. And I found out something that I didn't know. That his only source of heat was one of these heat pump air conditioners. And you and I know that a heat pump air conditioner doesn't work under 40 degrees. And they've been in the teens and the 20s. And he's been, the only heat he's had in that house is a little tiny electric heater. And it amazes me that the people in the church that go in and out of that house haven't noticed that. They haven't noticed it. They go home to a nice warm house. Here's Paul freezing in his. Is that looking on the things of others? Is that minding the things of others? Those of you that know me have known me for any length of time. You know that if I see you in need, I'm going to do whatever I can to take care of that, even if I have to take from myself to do it. I'm going to do that. But you also know I'm a lot like Paul in that. I won't say anything to you if I need it. But we as Christians, if we're going to be fruitful in the Lord, if we're going to serve God, we need to start looking, paying attention at what's going on around us. Now, I might have embarrassed somebody. I might have some people feeling guilty about what I just said, and I hope I do, praise God. I hope they really feel bad and go out and do something about it. But I don't want them to feel bad in the wrong way. I want to provoke them to open their eyes, to look at their brothers and sisters around them, and see if they can, if there's a way to show love. If there's a way to meet their needs. I know we all have needs, amen. We all have needs. And we have wants. I remember the first time the Lord showed me the 23rd Psalm. I mean, I'd read it many times, but I remember the time the Lord showed it to me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I realized that as a child, I learned to replace the word want for need. I'd go to my mommy and I'd say, "Mommy, I want that airplane." "You don't need it." It didn't take me long to figure out I was using the wrong word. Because every time I said, "I want," she said, "You don't need." So I came back and I started learning, "Mom, I need that airplane. I really need it." And sometimes it worked. I get that little, you know, you remember those, some of you old enough, you remember those little airplanes you had a rubber band on, you let that rubber band up, you set it out, and wow, man, that was so cool. Until it went on the neighbor's roof. And it was one of those neighbors that wouldn't let you take it off. "I need another one." But the truth of the matter is, I didn't need it. You know why? I found out that a lot of the things that you think we need, and we get them, 10 days later, we don't need them anymore. You ever notice that? "Oh, gotta have that. Gotta have it." As soon as the newness wears off, gotta have something different. Gotta find something else to fill that void. That want void. Sheryl Crow, I think, put out a song I thought was pretty neat. And I'll probably mess it up, but there's a part in it that says, "It's not about getting what you want, it's wanting what you got." And I've had a lot of things in my life that I really want it. And I really need it. But after I got them, after a while, they weren't that important anymore. It was always something else, something else, something else, something else. Until I found one thing. I found one thing that I wanted and I needed. And when I got it, it took that place and I didn't want anymore. That one thing was Jesus. A personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can take that want button and throw it away. It's the only thing. But there are things the natural man needs. We need food. I don't need steak every night. Hamburger will do fine. I don't need turkey. A chicken will do fine. I don't need a ham. A pork chop is happy. Makes me happy. But I need food. Amen. I mean, there are some foods that I like better than other foods. There's some foods that, oh, yes, I like. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And there are those foods I say, "Well, bless you, Lord, I'll eat it. It'll serve my body, and you know, praise God." But I need food. I need air to breathe. I need water to drink. A little coffee, that's good. I don't need it, but I'm blessed when I get it. Amen. A little Coca-Cola, don't need it. Happy when I get it. There are certain things we need. One of the things we need is we need to be warm when it's cold and cool when it's hot. I don't mean cold when it's hot. 80 degrees is fine. That's a good temperature. I got some weird looks on that one. But the bottom line is, if we learn to look at one another and be mindful of others, and to look not on our own things, see, not on what I've got, but what you have or don't have. See, that's what it means, being mindful of other things, other people's things. What are their needs? And if you have the love of Christ, you're going to see these needs. And you're going to want to take care of those needs. Amen. You're going to want to take care. And I heard another story that I thought was very good about South Carolina. They had some water pipes break. Philip's been sick. And we pray for Philip. Get well, Philip. That's an order. He's been sick, and his water pipe broke, and he's too sick to go out and take care of it. But a couple brothers in the Lord went over and took care of it for him. Praise God. That's showing the gospel. But what we need to do is always be watchful around us, to all of us, not just the obvious, but look for that which isn't so obvious. Amen? And that's the way you can show that love of God and preach the gospel with your actions, not just with your words. Okay? Praise God, I'm done.